to a special signing day edition of the Wahoo Central Podcast. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and my guest is UVA's head football coach, Mike London. Coach, I know you have 100 obligations today, and I appreciate your finding time to stop by the studio for a few minutes. So what are your emotions after the final letter of intent comes in on signing day? Excitement, relief, a little bit of both?
I'd say all of the above. You know, it's a lot of hard work and effort went into this particular signing class this year. You know, some very good, very, very good players, you know, quality young men, both on the field and in the classroom. And, you know, a lot of effort with a lot of coaches that were here, you know, despite, you know, some of the issues and transitions. But, you know, for these young men to stay committed, stay strongly committed, was, you know, a testament to, again, not only the school and the message, but the message about, you know, the opportunities that are presented here for these young men. We're particularly happy with the in-state players, you know, three from Virginia Beach, one from Chesapeake, one from Newport News, one from Lynchburg, one from Richmond, and two from Northern Virginia. So those are pretty good representative areas of of the state. And, you know, so we're happy about those efforts.
Not to slight any of the other 15 members of the class, but Andrew Brown and Quinn Blanding are ranked among the top 10 recruits in the entire nation. What does it say about your program and your staff's recruiting efforts that Virginia could land both of those guys?
Well, you know, it's to me, it's always been about relationships and establishing the relationships over the long haul. And, you know, when you know where young men have been going to, not only, you know, their junior high schools, you know, the different high schools that they may have been have gone to, it, and you've established those relationships with coaches, people in the community, you know, just a wide variety of people that that may have an influence on the young men, and they've been up here. They know players that have, you know, are from their areas and from their communities that are up here. So it takes a while to establish that. And then so when you can parlay that into crafting a message that how a young man can be successful here, you know, it resonates with them. And it, you know, particularly with this year, this class, it resonated in such a manner that the players themselves held the class together because they're the same type of profile young men that will have success here at Virginia.
It's no secret that with your team coming off a losing season, that opposing recruiters went all out to try to poach your recruits this year. How challenging was it for the staff to keep the class together? There was one decommitment, but that seems to be the case every year at every school.
Extremely challenging. When I tell you that, I mean, some of the things, some of the stories, you know, that you hear from some of our guys that were committed, and, you know, and coaches, you know, message boards, you know, things like that, and can all become distractions. But as I said, you have to make sure that the message and the type of young man, a type of family that's committed to the fact that a great education, a great opportunity to play in a league that, you know, has now a national champion, you know, playing close enough to home, you know, that your community can follow you. So, it goes back to the efforts of the coaches on the staff that held this together, and then the type of young men that said, yes, we'll make the difference.
A lot of these players stayed in touch with each other throughout the recruiting process by text or phone call, social media. Did that make the coach's job easier, the way the players bonded with each other?
Well, not necessarily made the coach's jobs easier. It made the fact that young men that had the same types of interest of being together and playing on the football field, wanting to be great teammates, have the same type of interest in their pursuits for life after football. It made that point of it, you know, it accentuated that point of it. And then as a coach, you know, the message was to keep talking about that, to keep talking about the things that happen when they come. It, you know, it's interesting that I sent a letter out to Jeff Ferrar, and I put you on, and they got all kind of attention.
Yes,
but
it did.
But the you was just basically, when you come, you make the difference. When you step on grounds here, you will become an educated man. You will be a great teammate. And so that message resonated early on and just kind of galvanized the guys that had committed. And as you said, we lost one, a young man that, you know, from North Carolina, decided to stay in North Carolina. But, you know, despite all the other things that have gone on to, you know, to keep the class intact and the type of guys was something that we're very proud of.
One of the late additions to the class was Jamil Kamara, a big wideout from Virginia Beach. I know UVA was well positioned with him all along, but did you have any nervous moments leading up to his public announcement?
Well, there's always nervous moments, you know, until you get, you know, a signature, you know, on this day. He's a talented player. I mean, a lot of these guys, I don't know if we're going to talk about them individually. This is kind of a general overview, but very talented player, a size receiver that played receiver, but also played, you know, defensive right. back, you know, and had accolades as a, you know, a basketball player and in other sports. So, you know, it's important to get, you know, again, your in-state best players, make sure that they have an opportunity to come see you and see themselves having success at your place. And Jamil is one of those guys that very highly recruited that, you know, can help this football team. You know, if not right away, then he will because of the type of competitor he is.
Looking over the past two recruiting classes, I'm struck by the fact that virtually every player is at least 6 foot tall, and many of them are a lot taller than that. Did the staff make a conscious effort to go after bigger players, guys with bigger frames, the last couple of years?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe the fact that when you have big athletes that can run, that it makes a difference, particularly when, you know, a small athlete's trying to block them or trying to tackle you. You look at the defensive backs, you know, there's some size. You look at the wide receivers, there's some size. Particularly if you look at the, as I characterize them, the run and hit guys, the linebackers, you know, 6'3", 6'5", 225, 235, 220. And, you know, Mother Nature is now going to be one of our allies for these young men to realize, you know, how much can they fill out. But the one thing that this class has is athleticism. You look at their bios and they played a lot of different positions, different sports. And that's always critical, and they can run. And so you put those things together, you put together a pretty good young class.
Two members of the class were able to enroll here last month. How much do you think that head start will help Andrew Brown and Jake Feeler? Are we likely to see both of them on the field in the fall?
Well, it's a tremendous asset for them in terms of getting acclimated to college life, you know, They've had the early stage of, you know, where's the JPJ, where's the library, you know, just you go through all those things as a first year, you get acclimated to it, you know what's going on, you're a college student athlete now. I mean, you know, right now, had they not, you know, mid-year enrolled for Andrew's particular case, he'd still be in a sixth grade chemistry right. class, but Feeler was in, you know, at Fork Union and you know, had a chance to do a nice job in there in the classroom, so both of them have matriculated here now, and it does matter because now they're going through the growing pains right now, and they'll be acclimated to the spring practice part.
Other guys in this class who at least have the potential to play as true freshmen.
Well, there are. I mean, there's always, you know, my belief is if a guy's ready to play and can exhibit that, you know, by handling it on the field, but also, you know, off the field. Types of the maturity, you know, issues that can he handle playing now, because now it triggers his academic expectations as well. So that's important. But you know, this is a class that, you know, even now at this point of recruiting and, you know, in the program, to look at guys and have a chance to redshirt guys, you know, because we have a lot of guys that are coming back that have played in college football game now. So, you know, we'll see. Whoever can play, we'll play him. But at the same time, if a redshirt opportunity is going to make them a better player, then we'll also do that.
A lot of fans already know about the 4-star and the 5-star recruits in this class. Who are some of the sleepers?
Wow. I mean,
potential sleepers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble with any of that, but.
Well, let me ask you about one guy, Corey Jones, who I believe has played 1 year of high school football up in the D.C. area and had a lot of sacks, had a big impact. He's listed 6'5", 220, so he's got a big frame. What do you see as his upside?
Well, you talk about the 1 year playing football. He was a basketball player and, you know, pretty good basketball player. But Rick Houchins, the head coach up there, Archbishop Carroll, you know, has coached a lot of really good players, not only there, but, you know, other places that he's been. And And for a young man to come in and get 26 sacks his first season, and then for a coach to characterize him as being, you know, one of the best that he's coached with just 1 year, you're excited about the opportunity to continue to coach him. And then all that basketball running will stop, and now he'll be a football player and see where his, you know, where his body grows and fills out to.
Jordan Ellis is bigger than most of the tailbacks who are already in the program. Do you see him adding a different dimension to the running game?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, having a sized back, particularly over 200 pounds, Jordan is over 200 pounds, you know, and has had, you know, during this season, has had one particular game, I think, or something crazy like 6 touchdowns. And, you know, he's a very physical guy, and, you know, and you need that. And that was one of the things we wanted to address, is get a, you know, a size back, and Jordan provides that.
What about, there's a quarterback in the class, Turtle Cutler. What do you like about him?
Well, you know, I've made the analogy that, you know, as far as height wise and body build, it kind of reminds me of kind of the way Aaron Brooks looked, you know, and Turtle, you know, again, that's his nickname, is a young man that played a great high school program, Ocean Lakes, you know, down there in the Tidewater area. Had a knee injury at the, you know, towards the latter part of his high school career there, enrolled at Fork Union, and, you know, has rehabbed that and is getting to the point where he should be 100% by the time we report for camp. But I think he's thrown for over almost 5,000 yards in his high school career. But, you know, again, a player that has a lot of ability, a lot of skill. And we'll see, you know, where he fits in the grand scheme of things when he arrives.
I know you got to run today. Let me ask one final question. You have two new assistant coaches. Mike Archer didn't come on board till last week, so I'm guessing he didn't have a huge role in the recruiting process. But what about Jappy Oliver, who's coaching the defensive line? Did he help with the recruits who might have been concerned about the loss of Vincent Brown and Anthony Poindexter?
No doubt, Jeff. You know, the loss of Anthony and Vince, you know, are two great young, you know, two great people, you know. And, you know, part of recruiting is having a relationship and establishing relationships and a bond. You know, Jappy, having been, you know, a coach, has been at different places. In fact, he was in on he was here when we had the big weekend when most of the guys were committed. And it was just like a veteran, you know, the way he interacted with the players. We interacted with the parents. I mean, I think between you had a group of parents that had such a great time that they felt good enough to say he looked like Steve Harvey, you know, and so, you know, that's a presence in terms of a veteran guy that, you know, what, he's been at Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, you know, academy schools, and so he's been at places where you've had to, you know, talk about the academic athletic components of why their son should come to their school, and it was a seamless transition for him.
Great. Well, Coach, thanks again for stopping by. Congrats on your latest class.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thank you for all the followers that are out there listening to this podcast. And I guess you can go online and look at some of the highlights of these young men. Look forward to, you know, to the fans, you know, cheering these guys on and rooting for these guys. They're great young people, and look forward to having a good year this year.
As Coach mentioned, you can find videos and commentary on these recruits on virginiasports.com, as well as news and updates on our 24 other teams. Until next week, thanks for listening.